All right, this is week two, class three, worship in spirit and in truth. Now let's pick up here on page six, talking about worship and deliverance. Now this is going to tie in a little bit with some of what we've already covered, but we will talk about it here tonight a little in a little more detail. Now Satan wants to keep you from walking in the fullness of what you have in Christ. That should be obvious. And you know, I've talked about deception before, how he has various levels of operation in the life of a human being. Number one is to keep you from being born again. And if that doesn't work, it's to keep you from being filled with the Holy Spirit. And if that doesn't work, it's to keep you from believing that you can pray in tongues anytime that you want. And if that doesn't work, it's to interfere with you to try and stop you from praying in tongues after you believe that you can. So he's got these various stages that he tries to operate in your life. And one of his, if you will, primary goals is to keep you from walking in the fullness of what you have in Christ. Now turn over to 2 Corinthians chapter 10. Some of you beat me to it. Praise God. And look at these verses here. Verse 3. For though we walk in the flesh, we do not war after the flesh. For the weapons of our warfare are not carnal, but mighty through God to the pulling down of strongholds, casting down imaginations and every high thing that exalteth itself against the knowledge of God, and bringing into captivity every thought to the obedience of Christ. These imaginations do not come from God. This word, imaginations, it comes from the Greek word logismos, and it means a process or pattern of thinking that results in a course of action. Now, that's its basic definition. But it means, it's talking about you thinking upon something, meditating upon something, and then acting accordingly. Well, these kind of imaginations, or this type of thought process, it doesn't come from God, because these imaginations, it says, you know, they're high things, they exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. So what they do is, again, to kind of paint the picture, these thoughts are telling you that everything that God has given to us according to His Word and so forth is not for you. Example, healing's not for today. All right, that is an imagination that comes against, by His stripes you were healed. Okay, that's just one example. And he says that we are to cast down these imaginations because they're high things. They exalt themselves against the knowledge of God. We're to bring into captivity every thought unto the obedience of God. So every thought, again, another way to put this would be, every thought that we have should line up with what's been established in God's Word. Now, relative to this course, our thought process should be, it makes sense to worship, it makes sense for me to sing in the Spirit and sing with the understanding. It makes sense for me to lift my hands. It makes sense for me to praise and worship the Lord, even if the songs are tunes that I recognize and the words are flashed up on the wall. I don't just sing them, I make them a testimony. I make them my worship. I use those words that are supplied to me as my praise and as my worship. But then it also makes sense for me to not need those kinds of words, to not even need music. It makes sense to me to just sing a new song unto the Lord by myself, to just praise Him and worship Him. It makes perfect sense to me if the only thing that I can think of is saying, I love you, Jesus. I love you, Jesus. I love you. I love you, Jesus. And that's all I can think of saying. And that's all I say for the next 15, 20 minutes, half hour. That makes perfect sense to me because it's coming out of my spirit. I'm worshiping in spirit and in truth. Well, that is supposed to be our thought process that leads us to a course of action. The course of action would be praise and worship. Well, Satan wants to produce in us, however he can, an opposing thought process that would say, well, no, this praise and worship stuff, you know, it doesn't make sense. I really don't believe that it can silence the enemy. I really don't believe it can produce unity. I really don't believe I'm spreading an anointing. I really don't. In spite of what you see in the Word of God, the opposing thought process says it doesn't do any of these things. So therefore, the course of action that is a result of that thought process is you don't worship. Very simple. Well, Satan wants to use these imaginations any way he can to get us from worshiping. Well, related to this course, to keep us from worshiping. Now, this is in contrast to Philippians chapter 4. Look over there. Philippians chapter 4, verse 8 says, "Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whatsoever things are lovely, whatsoever things are of a good report, if there be any virtue, if there be any praise, think on these things." Another way to put that, to simplify it, is think about the things that are of God. Think about what God has said in His Word. If God has said, "By His stripes you were healed," then bless God, by His stripes you were healed. If the Bible says, "My God, He can make all grace abound unto you, that ye always have all sufficiency in all things and abound to every good work," well, then praise God, that's it then. That's what God has said. That's my thought process. I will think on those things. If you turn over to Isaiah chapter 10, we're going to get an idea here of how this process works, or better put, how Satan works to get us to think in ways that are classified as imaginations and high things that exalt themselves against the knowledge of God, or against the things that are of God. Isaiah chapter 10, verse 27 says, "And it shall come to pass in that day that his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing." Now, the word burden, in the Hebrew, it means load, burden, or, you know, a heavy load. And the word yoke, the yoke, it means yoke. And that's the thing that was placed on the neck of an ox for plowing. Well, the yoke was placed on the neck of the ox, and then there would be like a harness attached to the yoke that kind of rested on the ox's shoulders. To look at it, it all looks like one big piece of, you know, equipment on the ox. But then reins were attached to the harness, and then the farmer would be behind the ox, you know, pulling on the reins and guiding and, you know, trying to get the ox to go where he wanted as far as the plowing was concerned. Well, this verse is very symbolic of spiritual attack. Jesus Christ is the head of the church. Colossians chapter 1, verse 18 and other verses say that. Now, as the head, what he is trying to do is send signals to the rest of the body. Now, think in the natural. Your head sends signals to the rest of your body. Your head, well, your brain, but your head is sending signals to your lungs to breathe in, breathe out, breathe in, breathe out. Your head is sending signals to your heart to pump. Your head is sending signals to your eyes to blink, and on it goes, okay? So the head sends signals. You know, if you stub your toe, your head sends signals for you to reach down and grab your toe and rub it. And your head will tell you also maybe to throw in a few choice words along the way, but your spirit will say, "Don't." Nevertheless, the head sends signals to the body. Jesus is the head of the body of Christ. He sends signals to the body. Now, if Christians are not receiving instruction from their head, then what happens is they're going to enter into various levels of confusion. And this should be such an obvious thing. Again, think about churches that are teaching against the gifts of the Spirit. They're not getting that instruction from the head of the church. Think about churches that are teaching against the ministry of the apostle or the prophet, saying that those ministries are not valid for the body of Christ today. They are not receiving that instruction from the head. It's coming from someplace else. It's not coming from Jesus Christ. Well, when the communication is cut off, when you're not receiving from the head, you're going to have various levels of confusion. This is another reason why we have so many different denominations. It's because if everybody were hearing from the head the same way that we can hear from the head, we'd all be saying the same thing. Do you see this? But the fact that we're all speaking different things, that this group is one way and the other group's another way, means they're not receiving from the head. The communication somehow has been interfered with. All right, now, in the natural, the human body does receive direction from the head. Now, have you ever been bent over for any period of time? Now, you can try this at home if you want to. But if you bend over and stay bent over long enough, it interferes with the flow of blood and oxygen to and from your brain. And what it will do, it's a very interesting thing. Somehow it begins creating inner pressure and all this on the auditory system, the nerves and all that, to where you begin... It interferes with your ability to hear. You'll, it's if you do it, it'll start sounding like you're listening in like an echo chamber, and the sounds and the voices will start sounding like they're very distant. It interferes with your ability to clearly hear. Stay bent over long enough, you can pass out. You become unconscious. Now, Satan wants to burden us down with imaginations. Again, think in terms of this verse here. It shall come to pass, his burden shall be taken away from off thy shoulder, and his yoke from off thy neck, and the yoke shall be destroyed because of the anointing. He wants to try and get a yoke of problem thoughts to hang around our spiritual neck. He wants to try and get us distracted away from truth, thinking about other things. The more we begin to think about our problems, the more we begin to think about, you know, this isn't right, that isn't right, and so on, the more we miss the answers that Jesus is trying to give us. Guys, listen, God does not want to not answer you. He wants you to receive answers to your prayers. Sometimes we're not willing to receive the answer. Meaning, you know, it's like we pray and we're anticipating a yes answer. We're not willing to receive a no. Well, that makes it kind of hard for us to receive the answer then, does it not? But if Satan can influence our thought process with imaginations, for example, oh, I wish God would heal me. Why won't God heal me? He's in heaven saying, but by my son's stripes you were healed. Oh, God, please heal, please heal. And he's saying, I sent my word and healed you and delivered you from all destruction. Oh, God, please heal, please, please heal. He says, well, my son Jesus took your infirmities and bore your sicknesses. Oh, God, please heal, please heal. And what's happening, figuratively now speaking, Satan is putting this burden, this yoke, around your spiritual neck. And it's heavy. And it's causing you to begin to bend over. And the more you're focusing on what you don't think God has done, the heavier this thing becomes in your life. And this is relative, really, to anything that does not line up with God's Word. For example, again, the church that teaches against the gifts of the Spirit. What's happened? Satan has been able to infiltrate their teaching with imaginations that have exalted themselves against the knowledge of God. It has become a yoke around their neck, and it has caused their hearing to be sealed off, if you will, from receiving from the head who would tell them, well, no, the gifts haven't passed away. The gifts are still in operation. Well, no, the apostles, they haven't been done away with. There are still apostles in the church today. But because we're burdened down with the yoke of those imaginations that are exalting themselves against the knowledge of God, it interferes with our ability to hear. And the more wrong stuff we start believing, whatever it would be, the heavier this thing becomes. And so it's almost as though you could have a yoke of unbelief concerning healing, a yoke of unbelief concerning the ministry of the apostle, a yoke of unbelief concerning the gifts of the Spirit, on and on it goes. So here, this thing's burdening us and holding us down. Well, as we begin to worship the Lord, it releases an anointing from God that breaks and destroys yoke. Look over in Isaiah 61. Look at this. In Isaiah 61, verse 1, the Spirit of the Lord is upon me because He hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He has sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn, to appoint unto them that mourn in Zion, to give unto them beauty for ashes, the oil of joy for mourning, the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness, that they might be called trees of righteousness, the planting of the Lord, that He might be glorified. So this praise and worship, it literally produces an anointing of joy. And the joy of the Lord, over there in Nehemiah, tells you the joy of the Lord is our strength. As we begin to praise Him and we begin to worship Him, it combats it says, the spirit of heaviness. Well, this would be like a demonic force or a feeling, a spirit of heaviness. You know, I feel like I'm in a cloud. I feel like I'm in a depression. It comes against that. It comes against the other yokes that have been holding us down from hearing clearly from the Lord, or to begin to understand things. In other words, as we begin to praise Him, the yoke is destroyed, the yoke is broken, the yoke is annihilated, the yoke is removed from off of us. And this is why, if you can get Christians to praise, you literally can praise and worship your way out of problems. But a lot of folks don't understand it. Listen, I am not trying to paint a picture to you that it is easy. But I'll guarantee you, the moment that you begin to make a decision, Well, all right, I don't understand all of this. And boy, it sure is new to me. But you know what? I can't deny what I'm seeing in the Word here. So I'm going to do this. I'm going to start worshiping the Lord. And I'm not going to wait till Sunday. You know, I'm going to, you know, get alone. Nobody's around. I'm just going to begin to worship the Lord. I'm just going to begin to do this. See what happens. Man, you better... Satan is taking note. You begin to do that, and you are going to get his attention. Now, I'm not saying he's going to come in and destroy everything you've got, but he's going to do what he can to convince you to stop. If that means telling you, this is not working, this isn't doing anything. And here's what's amazing. The whole time you're worshiping, I mean, how would you like to be the little demon that has been given the order to go into the presence of praise and worship to tell that person to stop? Can you imagine how uncomfortable it might be for that little devil to have to come in there and try to stand in the midst of this and convince you to stop? I don't know. You know, people talk about inflicting pain upon demons, and I don't know about all of that, but I'm not going to say it's impossible. And I will say this, worship, it should be one way to do it. If I were devil, I would not want the assignment to go tell a worshiper to stop, because you're going to have to endure all that punishment while you're there lying, trying to get them to stop. And you're going to have to do it in a way that does not convey any discomfort in your little voice. Oh, please stop. Please stop. You know, you're going to have to force your way through it. Now, look, this isn't working. You don't want to do this. Trust me. That guy there at that Bible college, he's a nut. You should have dropped out a long time ago. Don't do this. Don't worship. Don't sing. Don't do any of these things. Look, you've been doing this now for 10 minutes. Where's God? He's not here. He's not coming. This stuff doesn't work. No matter what it takes to try to get you to stop, that's what he'll try. He'll even influence. This may sound kind of weird, but if he can, he'll influence somebody to try and call you. Even your best Christian friend. You know? And it's not that they're devil possessed. It's just, look, it's not, these kind of things that happen to, you know, it's just not always a coincidence. Right in the middle, right when I started to praise and worship the Lord, the phone rang. Well, the devil's got his own little cell phone system, all right? Have somebody call fast. They're starting to worship. It's not a coincidence. But see, the thing about it is, if you keep worshiping and you keep praising, you're going to get the results that Scripture says you'll get. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. You praise, no more heaviness. It may take you longer than 5 minutes. It may take you longer than 15 minutes. Now, I will tell you this. Let me testify. There have been times in my life where I have gone through I don't know even what you call it. I don't want to say depression, but you ever gone through a mental funk? It's like you feel lousy, not physically. I mean, just, you know, it's like you're kind of grumpy, but kind of not grumpy. And you're just kind of, blah, just like, I mean, if it would help, you'd suck your thumb or something, but it won't. You're just kind of like, ugh. Well, I would go through things like that. And it's like, I just dealt with it. But I can remember one day, I was sitting in my office. And this has been a long time ago, long time ago. I'm sitting there, and I'm going through this. It's like, and all of a sudden I stopped. And I thought, oh, wait a minute. Why am I feeling like this? What's wrong in my life? Well, Kathy and I are getting along. Everything's okay at the church. I'm not sick. We're not behind on bills. The cars are running. The computer hasn't crashed. I mean, why am I feeling like this? There is no reason for me to feel this. So what's the problem? Maybe an attack of the enemy? Oh, well, I know how to deal with that. Put the pen down. Push keyboard back in. Hallelujah, Jesus, I praise you. I worship you, Jesus. And you know what? I mean, this is probably going to knock you right out of your chair. That feeling went away. Can you believe it? The spirit of heaviness departed. But now, I'm going to let you in on something else. Every now and then, he's tried to come back. Yeah, after he recovers. He comes back. He says, well, I'll try this again. Depressed, blah, funk. Wait a minute. There's that feeling again. Why am I feeling like this? I quit. I'm not going to feel like this. Hallelujah, Jesus. I praise you. And now, this is even carried over to, I'll be sitting down and I'll be thinking about, I got this to do and this to do and this to do and this to do. And oh, where am I going to find the time? And I got to, you know, how am I going to? It's like, wait a minute. 1 year ago, what were all the things that I needed to do? I don't remember. So apparently, a year from now, I won't remember this either. Therefore, why am I wasting my time getting all blahed out over what I have to do? Okay, I know how to handle this. Jesus, I praise you. I love you. I glorify you, Jesus. I worship you. And then it's amazing. My thought process begins to clear up. And suddenly I realize, well, I do this one first, and it's done. Then I do the next one, and it's done. Then I do the next one, and it's done. So what's the problem? Nothing. It's incredible. This works. This works for anybody. It works. But the key is, you have to believe it's going to work. If you don't, it won't. And, you know, this sounds so simplistic, but you could be living in a home with a terribly abusive husband or a terribly adulterous wife or, you know, whatever. I mean, you could be living in a home situation that's really bad. The praise and the worship may not immediately bring about changes to the circumstances, but it will bring about changes in your response and your emotions. Guaranteed. Guaranteed it will work. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. This is God's word. I did not write that in your Bibles. I didn't sneak into your house last night and put that in there. God put this in here a long time ago. This works. But you have to believe it. It's faith, really, is what it is. It's an act of faith. You have to believe it's going to work. And then you have to do it. No matter what your emotions tell you, you have to believe it will work and you have to do it. Yeah, I know your kids are mouthy. Your kids are, you know, they just turned 13 and instantly they knew everything. They know everything. They, you know, and you became the dumbest person overnight. It's amazing. It's a miracle. You're smart one day, dumb the next. How'd that happen? I don't know. But you can begin to worship yourself out of the emotions of a rebellious child, no matter what it is. You can worship yourself out of the emotions that will lend to confusion about the situation you're facing. And it's amazing, once you can get rid of the confusion, things can begin to seem a whole lot more clear. Even though the circumstances are still facing you, dealing with them becomes a whole lot easier. The garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. In Ephesians chapter 5, turn over to chapter 5. Let's look at some verses there. It goes right along with this. In verse 15, it says, "See then that you walk circumspectly, not as fools, but as wise, redeeming the time because the days are evil. Wherefore, be ye not wise, but understanding what the will of the Lord is. And be not drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the Spirit, speaking to yourselves in psalms, hymns, spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ." Now, he says you're not supposed to live as fools, but as wise. Relative to believers, only a foolish person would dwell more on problems than on Jesus. Think about it. Now, this sounds like a harsh thing to say, but you can tell where a person's walking based upon how they talk about their life and the situations they face. All Christians, you know, you may be stronger in one area than what I am, but I may be stronger in a different area than what you are. I mean, it's all based upon, you know, where we are in the Lord and so forth. But you get around Christians and all they do is fuss about their problems. All they want to do is tell you about how bad this is, how bad that was. I'm telling you right now, they're walking as fools. I'm not saying, I'm trying to be nice, but there's no really, I mean, the Bible says, walk wise, not foolish. It is foolish to focus more on your problem than the Christ who has the answer. So he says you're supposed to walk as wise, not as foolish. A wise person is going to be more aligned with Philippians chapter 4, verse 8. That was talking about, you know, think on these things, all these things that are of God. Now, if we redeem our time we will begin to understand God's will. This is extremely important. He says, redeem the time. He tells you to redeem your time. He's going to tell you how to in just a moment here. As you begin to redeem your time, you'll begin to understand God's will concerning things, you know, healing, peace, concerning His Word and truth. Remember, we talked about how praise and worship is going to interfere with the lies of the devil. You're going to begin to understand His will regarding your ministry, your calling, regarding anything that is pertinent to your life. No matter what it is, you will begin to understand what the will of God is. Now, notice what He says in here, and be not drunk with wine, verse 18, where is an excess, but be filled with the Spirit. Well, why is it that a lot of people get drunk? To avoid problems? Some of you maybe in your past can relate to this. To avoid problems, to avoid the depression of not knowing what to do, to escape feelings of helplessness. And the non-alcohol version of this is using psychotropic drugs. What is it that they give people who are going through depression? They'll give them Prozac, stuff like that, all these different kind of drugs to make them feel better. All right, why are they feeling bad in the first place? Well, because they have a chemical imbalance in the brain. All right, well, Jesus can heal that, and I understand those kind of things can happen. But do you realize there are bazillions of people on Prozac and these other kinds of drugs? And it's not because they have a chemical imbalance. It's because they have a spiritual problem. And that's what it comes down to. They can say what they want. It's a spiritual problem. Can you imagine? We could put a whole lot of psychiatrists out of business if you can just get people turned on to Jesus. Now, let me interject this. You may be here tonight taking drugs like this. Maybe it's not Prozac. What's another one? Lipitor or something like that? Some of these others, I don't know. But what is it? Valium? Yeah, I mean, there are so many out there now that will deal with all these, I'm just depressed all the time. Maybe you're taking these drugs, and it's not because of a chemical imbalance, but it's because you're having trouble coping. All I can tell you is this. According to the Word of God, He's given us the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Bottom line, I can't change that. And I will not ever endorse a person taking any kind of drug or alcohol to help them deal with their problems and get past depression. I'm telling you now, if you can get people turned on, I mean, really, two big things, pray in tongues and worship the Lord, and you will drive off those spirits that are afflicting. I'm not saying you're possessed, but they are affecting you in that area of your emotional stability. And, when people get drunk, they forget about their problems and who they are, and they start thinking about who they wish they were. It's true. Listen, how many of you remember running the bars? Those of you that did, and, people that get drunk, the girls think they're prettier and the guys think they're, tougher. I mean, that's just the way it is. People just, they become something that they aren't. And to some people, it's even to a greater extreme. I mean, and you ever been around some people that when they get drunk, all they want to do is fight, pick a fight, because they think they're bad to the bone. They want to hear Rocky music playing in the background. They're rough and tough all of a sudden. But some people are just like that. But the alcohol distorts your perception of reality, so to speak, all right? So do those drugs. And what it does, it masks your emotions as they're responding to circumstances. Well, he says, don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess. He says, be filled with the Spirit. Instead of using alcohol or drugs as our therapy, we're to be filled with the Spirit. Now, this really, it implies two things. We're to live in the truth of our born-again nature, and we are to be constantly aware of the presence of the Holy Spirit. And then he begins telling you how to do this. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing and making melody in your heart to the Lord. Now, notice in this verse 19, he says speaking to yourself in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. This is not the same thing as Colossians 3:16, where it talks about edifying each other. Here's a way to describe it. Colossians 3:16. In fact, keep your finger here in Ephesians and look over real quickly to Colossians 3:16 just to see this verse. It says, let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. Verse 16, symbolically now. Verse 16, we're going to call that a church service. But over here in Ephesians chapter 5, verse 19, this is you. It's not a church service. You are speaking to yourself. You say, well, if I'm worshiping the Lord, I thought I was, you know, speaking to Him. Well, you are. But what's happening is you're ministering to yourself in the process. So don't be drunk with wine wherein is excess, but be filled with the presence of God and the fullness of who you are in Christ. Well, how do I do that? Begin worshiping the Lord. Because if you're facing a choice, I've got problems, so I could get drunk and take my Valium, or I could worship the Lord. He says, worship the Lord, because the other wears off. This can produce permanent change in your life. You worship the Lord, and it begins to change. You're ministering to yourself through this praise and this worship. Now, I think maybe I've said this before in a previous course, but there is really no reason for anyone who's born again to use any kind of drug whatsoever to deal with their depression or their moods. There is no reason for that. Oh, Brother Martin, you don't understand what I'm going through. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But Brother Martin, you don't understand my family situation. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Brother Martin, you don't know what's going on in my church. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But you don't know about my garment of praise for the spirit. But you, garment of praise for the spirit of... But garment of praise for the... You see, you can go to God with your problems. He's going to keep telling you the same thing. He doesn't change. He changes not. So you can tell Him, but God, I need these drugs to help me cope with life. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But God, I need some help. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. But God, you just don't understand. No, child, you don't understand. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. What are you wanting? I am giving you my answer. And see, this is another reason why a lot of Christians don't get prayers answered. It's because they see what's in the Word, but they reject it, and that is the answer to their prayer. How do I handle my problems, God? Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. God, I'm so depressed. I need help. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Pastor, lay hands on me and pray for me. I just can't shake this thing. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I know, Pastor, but... No. Garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. I know full well that there are a lot of Christians who would take strong issue with some of these things that I'm sharing with you. But again, go back to the Bible. What has God said? See, if God has not made provision for us as far as our emotions are concerned, especially the kind of emotions that lead some people to choose to take these kinds of drugs, if He's not made provision for this, then He cannot say in the Bible, we are complete in Christ. Because if He hasn't made provision for dealing with the emotions, the heaviness, the depression, whatever, then there is a part that is not complete. And people, I know that there are some folks, man, they will argue with you. And they'll defend taking drugs and other stuff to help them deal, to help them live a balanced life. Well, you know, taking those kind of drugs isn't going to send you to hell. So if that's the best that you can do, then let's praise God that those drugs are there to help you. But that will never change the fact that God has said, garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. That will never change that. And so I can remember the time that, my dad was, he was going through a tough time. You know, Mom had passed away, and then not long after that, he developed a gangrene and had to have one of his legs amputated below the knee. And every now and then, I noticed he acted a little different than the dad I always knew. And I didn't know what all was going on until one day I found out that the doctor was giving him Prozac. Now listen, you can say what you want, but I've been around enough people taking Prozac. You do not act normal. And my dad was only on a small dose. Prozac will affect the way you act, and you won't know it. You will think you're acting normally. I actually had a lady look at me one time. I used to work for a weight management clinic.
Can't you tell?
And the one thing that we were not allowed to do is let anybody enroll on the program taking psychotropic drugs. Here's why. When you alter a person's diet, it causes the drug to react differently in a way that it's not supposed to react. and it can cause the people to literally go off the deep end and like do strange things, like get a chainsaw and kill their family members. I'm not joking. I'm serious. It can do that. And I remember one day a lady, I was talking with her, and I saw her on there. You know, thing is, you have to handle this kind of stuff with kid gloves. You just can't, hey, lady, you're nuts enough. So I'm not going to help. But anyway. This one lady, she actually talked about me going with her to get a gun and kill her son. I want her out of here fast, really fast. Let's end this conversation now. People that take this kind of drugs, they think the drugs are helping them act normal. Uh-uh. If you're taking this kind of drugs here tonight, trust me, people know when that dose is hitting you. They can see it in you. I learned to recognize it in the eyes of people. When I worked at Kettering Hospital, I had to go up to the psych unit sometimes, get people to take them for exams. And, man, I could always tell when they were on the juice. I could always tell. Always. Didn't matter what it was. I don't care. Prozac, doesn't matter. Whichever drug it is, I began to recognize it in their eyes. And to this day, I can usually, if I'm around a person long enough, I can usually tell if they're either weird, demonically oppressed, or taking psychotropic drugs. I can usually tell that there's something going on there. And many of the times, it's because of what it's. There's just something about the look, something about what's coming out. So, again, you know, you can take this stuff if you want to. Bottom line is, God's already got an answer, and it's been in His Word for all these years. It's there. You say, well, Brother Martin, but I feel like I need to do this and need to do that. Well, look, let's put it like this. You taking those drugs? All right. Why don't you start including worship? Because that can get you to the place to where you may not feel so much of a need to take those drugs. Start including worship. If you're not comfortable with just, you know, cold turkey. Oh, and by the way, cold turkey right off drugs like that is not the best idea at times. Especially if you're on heavier doses. Please don't do that. Please don't do it. Just start worshiping. Include the worship. And let the power of the anointing that's released through that worship begin to work to change on the inside of you. And it's very, very possible you're going to get to the place to where you're never going to feel the need for those kind of drugs. Anyway, look here in the outline. Worship can take us to a place of greater sensitivity to the Holy Spirit and the voice of the Lord. The emotions do not understand this, and the soul will reject worship. And this is such an important point. Psalm 42 and 43, we won't go and read those, but I do encourage you to take the time to read those. Psalm 42 and 43 are examples of the contrast between the soul and spirit. On the one hand, he's talking about the soul is depressed, but then on the other hand, he starts talking to his soul as a soul. What's wrong with you? God is your helper and your deliverer and all this. You need to get in line with what the Lord is saying. If you want to break free, worship is not an option. When I say break free from wrong traditions, break free from any kind of a bondage, habits, behaviors, whatever it would be, break free from depression, oppression, and all that. Worship is not an option. Worship will get you there. Praise will get you there. Now see, when you teach this kind of a thing, a lot of people, it's like they hear it, but they're having a hard time understanding it. And the reason is because we haven't been taught this in the church. If we had all been raised in praising, worshiping atmospheres, we would understand what can take place in our praise and our worship. But now here we are. Look at it like this. Consider ourselves, maybe in a manner of speaking, as a group of explorers, as a group of, you know, like spiritual archaeologists. We've just discovered this thing. And now we've got a responsibility of utilizing it to start training that next generation that's coming up behind us. To start demonstrating to other people the power of praise and worship and what it can do in our lives. Now, regarding this entire section of the syllabus and Acts chapter 16, verses 16 through 26. Remember, that's where their feet were put in the stocks, where they were chained up. Okay, here's a prophecy that came forth in our church about a year ago. The Lord said, there are many people with yokes and burdens who have their feet in stocks and don't even know it. It is an attack of the enemy. It is the reason they can't seem to go forward. It is the reason they don't seem to hear me. If they will worship, it will release the glory and anointing they need to walk free. That's a powerful, powerful word from the Lord. Especially the part about people being in bondage and not even knowing it. You know, I've encountered folks like that. You sit down and you talk to them, they don't even realize that there is a form of bondage or yoke that is wrapped around them. It's like they can't seem to see it. And the Lord said, if you can get people to praise and begin to worship, it's an interesting thing. You begin to praise, you begin to worship, the day will come, you're going to be able to look back and realize how you had been chained, how there had been a yoke, how you had been in bondage and didn't even know it. But your worship has set you free. Praise God. Heavenly Father, we want to thank you tonight for the power of praise and the power of worship. And again, I pray that the message from your word about praise and worship, these things that we're learning, will have a powerful impact upon us, and that we will make a decision, a choice, Father, to praise you and to worship you no matter what we feel like. We're going to do it, Father, to give Jesus the glory and the honor that He is due. And Father, again, your word, it's gone forth, and we call it seed. We receive it as seed sown deeply in our hearts. It will come forth. It will produce the fruit. It will blossom into everything, Father, that it's supposed to. And as we leave this place tonight, once again, we ask you and we receive by faith, Father, divine protection. We honor you, we love you, and we bless you. In Jesus' name, amen. Praise God. We'll see you next time.